Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today's episode, Top 5 Fictitious Drugs.
Fictional drug cocktails. Or drugs.
Movie narcotics.
So many to choose from.
Are yours all narcotics or some pharmaceuticals?
Is there a difference there, Brian?
Well, I think of a narcotic as a hard drug, an illegal drug, a crack, or a heroin.
Oh, that's just the square in you saying that.
A pharmaceutical is something that's produced for corporate profit.
If I had a fist full of Vicodin, I could easily say, hey, my fist contains a lot of narcs.
Okay.
A lot of narcotics here.
You look like
a narc.
I do, really?
If you walked into like a drug ring, there would be bullets flying by your head.
I don't feel like I look enough... Not like a narc to be a narc. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not undercover. If I walked in, there'd be bullets flying. You don't want that in a narc. You want someone to look the you.
Right,
like
right. You look the part. Actually, Logan, you know what? I was at a bar the other night, and the bartender was drinking behind the bar. I didn't even notice it. And she comes over and she's like, "Are you a cop?"
I'm like, "What? Why?"
She's like, "Because I'm drinking." I'm like, "Well, you're the worst. If I am a cop, that's the worst move you just made. Coming running up to me, telling me that you're a cop." Asking if I'm a cop. All right, I was going to try and get cutesy and clever with it and go like, these are drugs that I wish existed because I would like to consume them.
Oh, interesting.
But no, some of my drugs, I'm very glad they will never be in my stream.
Very glad.
And I got a very healthy also Rans. I was very surprised. You never know. Like I say it week in, week out. You don't know what you're going to get until you actually go down the rabbit hole of researching these topics that we come up with here on the Film Vault week in, week out. And I wouldn't have been surprised if we could only find four or five.
Only a couple jumped to mind. It was like, oh, that one from that one movie. And
my top two are the ones that I had before I walked out of here last week, right after we came up with the topic.
Any clips? They stuck.
No clips. You got clips?
You got my clips?
No clips. Come on, buddy. We don't need clips.
We do.
The drugs are enough. The drugs are enough.
Maybe they'll seem like I'm talking.
You know what? Clips kind of seem weak. It's
what?
Like you're leaning on the clips. Like you can't talk about it on your own.
You need to push play. I feel like you only talk about that if you didn't have clips.
If I had some clips, I might not be making that argument.
What a different story. First, before we talk about top five fictional drugs.
Let's look fashion.
Let's talk about some movies. You
seen any good movies lately? You seen some good stuff out there?
I signed you a film.
You did.
You want to talk about it?
I want to talk about it because I'm pissed off.
No.
Angry.
Pissed off you haven't seen it before?
Angry, Brian.
Pissed off you hadn't seen it before.
Angry for different reasons than I'm normally pissed off when I come in here after and I have to talk about a movie that Brian has assigned, some dreadful robot-themed music documentary bullshit. That he is so or bro code
Wouldn't
movie.
That, can you imagine a better documentary for me than a robot music documentary?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like what the Rock of Fire explosion. That's the closest it gets.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want to hear anymore.
I don't want to hear.
Did you not see Rock of Fire?
Yes, I saw it. It's about the fucking animatronic.
That's as close as it gets.
Chuck E. Cheese type characters.
Oh, dull.
But I barely remember it. Talk to me. Wake up, goddammit. Talk to me. That was a horrible rendition. 2007. This is a movie starring the Cheed, which is not a thing, but I'm going to make it a thing. The Cheed.
A.K.A. Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Also... A young...
Talk to Me is the film.
Taraji P. Henson doing a little Cookie. For those of you who watch Empire, I've heard about this woman playing a character named Cookie on Empire.
You've heard about this?
I've heard about this from people. And she is, from what I hear, the best part of Empire. And she's doing a young Afro version of Cookie here, 2007's Talk to Me. Directed by Cassie Lemons, who she's directed some other things. She's you might know her as the friend... to Clarice in...
In The Silence of the Lambs.
She's an actress as well, Silence of the Lambs. Yes, she directed.
There's a great scene where they look directly at the camera when they're looking at each other, ostensibly.
This, Talk to Me, pisses me off because I am guilty of saying, you know what, I don't think racism's around as much. People who bitch about racism, you know what, bitch about something new because it's not alive and well. And when there's a movie of this quality... that came out in 2007, right in my wheelhouse of watching movies. And it kind of, I don't remember even hearing about this movie.
I barely even heard about it once it came out on video.
And it's a quality film.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. I should also say Chiwetel Ejiofor is also in this. He plays the one. So it's a true life story. Let me get to the bare bones here, the brass tacks,
plot,
if you will.
Story.
True life story about Petey Green, who was a man of the streets.
He was a pimp.
Incarcerated. Hey, he did all sorts of things to make ends meet out there on the streets, the hard streets of Washington, D.C.
He
was a shaker, a mover, a motivator. And a local radio station took a chance on him by putting him on the air.
He kind of barged into the station and sort of demanded to be on the air. Wasn't it kind of like that? I have a vague recollection of how it all went down.
He met Chiwetel in the prison at one point and was given one little glimpse of hope of actually being able to make something of his life on the airwaves. Once he gets out, he barges in like they do back in the 70s and 80s and 60s. Like in radio stations, you just barge in and create a career for yourself. That's how you did it. It's kind of how I do it. I just kind of barge.
They haven't kicked you out yet.
Barge the scene. They're about to.
No.
They're about to.
Okay.
Oh, just as an aside, everyone leave me alone with the Loveline stuff.
What's Loveline?
I understand there's a lot of crossover, and I understand your frustration. And I shouldn't say leave me alone because I get it. I'm very pissed off as well.
What?
But Loveline is no longer a podcast as of right now.
Oh,
sorry. This is totally off topic, but it just came to mind because we're talking radio. That's another thing. Why? How? I love movies. I work in radio. How do I not know about Talk to Me? How do I not know about Talk to Me? I had to spend the $2.99 or maybe $3.99 on Amazon to watch this, to stream it.
I had a radio professor tell me about this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fucking, I wish I had that guy in my head. I wish I had a class with that guy. And he let me, how do I not know this movie?
So wait, are people hitting up at Loveline?
So yeah, Loveline, CBS recently discovered that it was being made into a podcast for the last 4 years.
And they didn't know.
They didn't know, evidently. I don't know. It's a big company. And so they've taken back ownership of
evidently.
It from Podcast One. And as of right now, it's in a horrible limbo.
It's a limbo.
And I as of right now, no one has contacted me, and I'm kind of the face of the digital side of Loveline. I have not heard word one. So I hope that somebody over there is going to see the value in it, which there is, and they're going to get it back up. I imagine that at some point they will, but as of right now, I'm completely out of the loop, guys.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
You got to bootleg that shit.
I mean, I can easily do that. I'm not going to do that. And I'm pissed off more than anything else.
What if people just hit you up and you just described the episode to them?
Get in. That's horrible.
And then Drew said.
Drew said that some chick had trauma.
Probably related to her childhood. Probably related to when she was
last night. He was trying to pull my trauma out of me. I was not giving him a dime. No. Anyway, you're never going to hear
it. No quarter given.
It's not on a podcast. But it pisses me off. The people that work in radio, and I don't know names. I don't know who's to blame. But people that work higher ups over at CBS, they work in radio. You got to think that they loved radio at some point. They were a listener of radio.
Why they're there.
And they had to be able to understand that the people getting fucked here are the audience. The audience that listens on a regular basis that have come to rely on Loveline.
Made the show a success.
And they just pull it from one company and don't even put it up. Now, hopefully that'll change soon, but it's been a week, maybe a little over a week. Loveline's been dark. Speaking of dark, talk to me. Let's get back to Talk to Me.
So he burst in there and he sort of demanded to be put on the air.
They give him a chance.
For force of personality, he's a ball of energy.
And he comes in there with young Cookie. Taraji
B. Henderson.
Yes, and long story short, he ends up having a career, and this is all based on reality. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's Hollywoodized, but it goes down smooth. It's a period piece.
It's a real showpiece for Don Cheadle,
and
as I recall,
this is one that you don't sleep on. This one, don't let it get away from you because it's really worth watching. At least put it on, you know, on your watch list. On Amazon, hopefully it'll become streaming for free. Mm-hmm. If it was streaming for free, I would implore everyone to watch this movie immediately, right now. But I would say it's worth the $3.99 if you're a real cinephile. I'm pissed that I have not seen this one. Mm. And you know what? It didn't really lean on the racism card or the race card too much. And I thought I was going to get into this. It was more about
racial,
other politics that were going on. And it was more about Petey Green more than anything else.
Yeah, it's about him, the personality, his character, his charisma.
It would have been so easy to see just another biopic about a black man who has an opportunity and he squanders it with the booze and the whores and the drugs. You know, I was expecting, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. There was a little bit of that, but that doesn't lean on that at all. It really is a character study. Yep. And he is Don Cheadle plays bad motherfucker really well.
Yeah, he really got to fill up the screen. This is a nice discovery. I remember.
How did you discover this?
I feel like
who made you watch this?
I feel like
I tell you to watch this a while ago?
No, I watched it.
It feels like maybe that's
I think it was on vacation. I was definitely at my parents' house. I watched it with my parents.
Bored.
This is probably really? 2007 or 8. And I think
you told me once that your parents never let colored pictures on in their home.
Yeah, I think they thought this was something else, but they're pot committed. They're also, you know, no.
You love that pot committed. You lean on the pot committed a bit.
They were.
Let's get off the pot committed.
What's another phrase?
Let's move on.
They were
invested.
They were invested. Yes. It was past the point of no return at that point. And I think they either sent away for it on Netflix or they got it off, you know, the rental or whatever. And like, hey, let's check this movie out. I'm like, all right, here we go. And it was good.
Wake up, God damn it. I'm not doing it justice.
You're not doing it right
at all. I feel like I sound like an old Southern redneck.
You really do.
Wake up, God. God damn it. He had a persona about him.
Wake up, God damn it.
Yeah, a little bit like that. A little bit like that. It got a little bit heavy-handed when MLK took the bullet and felt like that was kind of forced in there to show that he had a heart as well.
Conscience.
That didn't really read true to me. Maybe I'm nitpicking.
Wait.
Good movie.
MLK, I thought this was in the 70s. Anyway. Someone else. Malcolm X?
It definitely spans time because it spans his career.
Yeah, there's a number of...
Ah, shit. I'm messing up. Anyway, good movie. I'm glad you saw it. I'm glad you liked it.
Ralph Waldo, Petey Green Jr. in the mid to late 60s. Washington, D.C. Vibrant. Soul music.
I saw two pretty good movies, both of which you've seen and both of which you believe you talked nicely about. How much, remind me, Anderson, how much did you like the movie Legend with Tom Hardy and also starring Tom Hardy?
I liked him a lot, and there's a lot of him in it to like. However, as a whole, it didn't really work for me. It came off as cutesy.
Okay. Thought it was above average. I saw Legend, written and directed by Brian Helgeland, who wrote and directed 42, which was not good. He also wrote Mystic River, which was good. And he is one of only three people, Anderson, to win an Oscar and a Razzie in the same year. He wrote L.A. Confidential, which won an Oscar, and The Postman, which won a Razzie, one quote unquote in 1997.
What were the other two people that have achieved such?
Sandra Bullock, who won for acting for I believe it was The Blind Side and yes, whatever that other terrible movie was that came out that year. And then the other guy I didn't recognize his name or didn't remember his name.
Well done, thank you.
Well, I thought I got two of them. Starring Tom Hardy and Emily Browning, David Thewlis, Christopher Eccleston, and Chaz Palminteri. Now, let's talk about Emily Browning for a second. Emily Browning was in a movie I made you watch called Sucker Punch.
I didn't even say Mike Epps or Martin Sheen.
No, you did not.
I'm terrible at brass tacks in these. Sorry, I apologize. Next one would be better. I promise.
All right.
All right. Martin Sheen also in Talk to Me. Sorry.
Wait. Yeah, you were just talking about Talk to Me, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. But now I'm just butting into yours, and I apologize. That was not very professional.
Emily Browning was in the star of, she was Baby Doll in Sucker Punch.
I forgot what movie you're talking about now. Please,
I'm talking about Legend.
Legend, yes.
She plays the girlfriend, fiance, whatever you want to call her, wife. Right. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get married, I guess.
She's British.
She is British, and she plays, she was Baby Doll in Sucker Punch.
Not important.
Was very, very bad there. Was very, very good here. I liked her quite a bit in this movie, which furthers my theory, Anderson. Now I'm really on to this. Zack Snyder, not a good director. He consistently gets poor performances, below average performances out of above average actors.
Listen, he has vision. He can come up with some nice shots and whatnot, like your boy over there, Michael Bay, but I don't think that he's an actor's director by any means.
I think this is borne out by movies like Batman v Superman and now this Legend, where I saw Emily Browning, who I disliked greatly in Sucker Punch, even though I kind of liked the movie. Here, she was very, very good. Really terrific acting job by Tom Hardy. I was actually kind of surprised to not see him up for Best Actor. Maybe he got dragged down by the overall quality of the film, which was only kind of above average.
Plus, what do? Do you give it to him for both roles? You got to pick a role, right?
I think no. You just got to give him for the movie. I guess he can play as many roles as you want. He was great. I know it's almost a cliche at this point, but I really did forget that I was watching two actors at certain points. Like, he really encapsulated two different. He embodied two different characters with the mannerisms.
And there was never any like, which one is this?
No, there was never.
And there was, and rarely were you like, Tom Hardy's really acting hard here.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is the bad brother who scares me.
Very easily. One brother's a little more charming, one brother's a little more thuggish, and he perfectly, the physicality of both roles. One guy, he was able to look hulking for one role, and then for the other role to look just kind of like, you know, normalish Tom Hardy. I was very impressed.
So this is all told through Browning's point of view too. Her character,
yeah, she's POV.
She is the narrator. And I just found my notes from months ago when I this is the only second time I've seen Emily Browning. She's much better here. Much better.
True. To wit, Anderson, Tom Hardy, I remember the fight scene between the two brothers, fight scene in the almost empty nightclub. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know about you, I love that scene. I thought it was great. I could have very easily gotten confused as to what was happening, but credit to the director and especially to Tom Hardy, the scene was very easy to follow and it was very funny and very compelling and also kind of scary. I mean, it threaded the line between all of those things. We're like, these brothers are going to kill each other. It's kind of funny, but also kind of terrifying.
Right.
Good job. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that scene. There was the trope of bearer bonds. When was the last time you saw bearer bonds in a movie? Remember that? Bearer bonds? That was like the trope in like... Panic Room, and Die Hard, Bearer Bonds. Like, they were basically a sack full of money, but it wasn't money. It was like these bonds.
Yeah, I never understand that. It just seems like fancy money.
It's fake. It's fake movie money, basically. Yeah, these things don't really, they exist, but they're not really used that often. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great moment where one of the brothers comes out. He's gay. He comes out as gay to Chaz Palminteri. Up of a boys. Remember? Yes. Chaz Palminteri, like, you fucking guys. Yeah. he's the mafia guy from the U.S. I love the way they recreated Swinging London. I actually could have used a lot more of that because that was in like two or three scenes. You're like, oh, this is kind of a cool, like, you know, they're recreating Swinging London from the 60s.
Speaking of gay, you really like the big swinging London. When I say swinging,
I mean like the lifestyle, not so much. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. I really like the lights and the glitter. Bad title. Why Legend?
With Wish Bowles Lerman actually directed this.
That's really been nice.
You wish that.
Bad title. Why Legend?
Legend, yeah, not a great title.
Not a good title for this. Too long. Dragged towards the middle.
Should have called The Craze.
Could have been called The Craze.
I think that's what the original the TV version was, where they cast the Spandau Ballet guys as the brothers. Yeah, back in the 80s.
Interesting.
I believe it's like late 80s, early 90s.
The accents were so thick, I really could have watched it with subtitles. They were very thick accents, some of the British fellows. And I wanted a more dramatic conclusion, or climactic conclusion, I should say. I kind of just petered out and coasted to a stop. Wanted a little more drama, a little more climax. Overall, it was above average. Glad I saw it. If you are into, if great acting can sustain a movie for you, you'll enjoy it.
That's what this is, unfortunately. And I remember saying it and looking at my notes from a few months ago. This is a movie that teetered on. It had a lot of the elements that would have made a great movie, or a really good movie, a movie you could refer back to, see a few times. Mm-hmm. It just didn't have the right director. There was no style there where it needed style. I remember there wasn't enough style. A certain long take that I was actually re-blocking in my head, thinking of ways to make it more interesting. But you had a good story, you had a good time period, you had great actors there, and it was a misstep. It was a misstep. And also,
more of a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity, I should say. And the real-life Reggie Cray was actually quoted as saying that the most frightening person he had ever encountered, that he had ever met, that he had ever experienced.
His brother.
No, was Charles Bronson. Remember Chopper?
Tom Hardy.
No, I mean Tom Hardy. Bronson, not Chopper.
Chopper's Eric Bana.
Yeah. And I remember saying also that it would have been so much fun.
If they crossed over?
Yeah, have Tom Hardy just play a cameo as Bronson.
Oh, how great would that be?
Because there was prison. All three there of them was a little bit. It felt too cutesy for me. Yeah. You know, it needed to be more gritty and feel more real.
Okay.
I saw a film.
Legend.
Speaking of gritty, real. Actually, there's no speaking of here with this and that. Little movie that's in theaters now. Let me pronounce this properly.
What's it called?
Everybody Wants Some! Two exclamation marks on that. Yeah. Everybody Wants Some. I thought for sure you would have seen this. How have you not seen this?
I have not seen this.
A movie made for Mr. Brian Bishop.
I'm glad to hear that because the trailer, which I've seen a number of times for films, looks awful.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That was the original title.
Okay.
Taken from a line from Dazed and Confused.
Okay.
Linklater says that this is his spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused. Also a follow-up to Boyhood. This is his first movie since Boyhood.
Right.
And it takes place a few days before college, whereas Boyhood ends right at the precipice of college. So he's trying to make a connection there. Not really important. Here's what I have to say about Everybody Wants Some.
Please pronounce it correctly.
Everybody Wants Some! Which is actually, it comes from a title of a Van Halen song or a line from a Van Halen song.
Yep.
The cast is primarily made up of unknowns, as in I didn't really recognize them. I looked at their credits and they were in things that I had not seen. I might be familiar with, such as Glee and other television productions that I have not followed.
Okay.
It's a group of mostly white. They got the one token black guy. College kids that are about to go into college. It's told in the last 3 days of summer, right before college. So they're all moving into the house, and they all play on the same baseball team.
Okay.
I don't even know if that comes across in the trailer.
I got the impression they were on baseball. It was the house where the baseball players lived.
I've seen the trailer. It's mostly the ping pong ball. Right, back and forth. They're playing pink table tennis.
I think there's a little bit of that.
I you know how I only
the trailer did not impress. So I'm glad to hear it's good.
So, I haven't said that.
Oh, well, you know what? Silly me. I thought you saying that I would like it.
Yeah.
We meant
that doesn't say a thing.
You're right.
That says nothing.
Does not mean it's good. Son of a bitch.
So, there's a bunch of different characters, and they're all after the same thing, essentially, at the end of the day. What do kids who are in college or on their way into college, what are they? Are they jocks? What are they mostly all interested in?
Girls and beer.
The puss. Yeah, that's right. They're all looking for the ladies. That's the main driving force behind their motivation. And as with every Linklater movie, for the most part, very little plot here. Very little story.
A lot of talking.
Some of it felt like it was wedged in almost Kevin Smith style, which is not to say, well,
it's not a compliment.
One character in particular who's supposed to be the smart one of the bunch, like he talks fast and a lot, and he talks as though, you know, you're reading Carl Sagan or something. It was a little too much, hard to follow, and he seemed like a character developed. But for every time there's a character like that, there's a really natural, like the black kid in the movie seemed very natural and approachable, and you seemed like you liked him. Then they have a crazy pitcher on the team who's like a caricature, something straight out of Napoleon Dynamite. Okay. He didn't work. He wasn't believable. So it's following these kids as there's two different houses on campus that are next to each other, and that's where the baseball players all live. So it's going to be nothing but booze and party and parties and booze, which it was a lot of. However, they do touch on other groups on campus. They spend a lot of time. I thought for sure I was going to be talking about this movie with you.
Sorry, man. I haven't seen it yet.
They spend most of half of the movie, they frequent three separate bars. One's the Fox, which is just kind of a nondescript bar where you can get some booze, kind of like an old man's type bar. Then there's the Sound Machine, I believe it's called. Sound Machine. And that's like a disco hanging on by a thread.
And this is the 80s or the dawn.
This is 1980. Okay. 1980, okay. Yes. I should say that in some unnamed college town, presumably somewhere in Texas.
Sure, if it's Linklater.
That's where Linklater's from. And so then they also spend time in the Sound Machine, Brian, where there's a lot of disco and that kind of thing, a lot of ladies, a lot of chicks. And then, where's the other place at the end? I'm going, oh man, I forgot. There's a third bar that they go to. Then they end up going to different parties. They go to a punk rock club at one point. They spend an evening at a punk rock club. And then they end up spending time with the drama, the theater majors and the drama queens. And that's a whole different vibe. So
you're getting little vignettes of all the different parts of the college.
And it was kind of an interesting way to do that, like by going to their home turf rather than where we've seen it before, effectively in other movies like Clueless, where they have the different little packs on school campus. Now, we're more than halfway through the movie, and I'm thinking, this is genius because there's a lot of talk about baseball. They're all baseball players. We haven't seen one of them hold a bat. One guy takes an axe, and he's swinging at baseballs, but that's the closest we've got to baseball so far. Unfortunately, they do end up on the field before everything's said and done. We never see a game. I just thought it'd be really interesting and fun.
Oh, it was like a red herring?
It's all about baseball. They're constantly talking about baseball. We never actually see them on the field. And then also there was a couple of guys that weren't fielding too well. You know, it's like, really? They're supposed to be a really good competitive college baseball team. It's one third base play. Just looked awful.
Okay.
It looked awful.
Not like Jeff King.
And then they call that same guy the vacuum later in the movie. I'm like, no, he's anything but. He's a sieve.
Because he sucks.
Oh, yeah. But there's a lot of great banter. There's a lot of great back and forth. It goes down smooth. And this might be like a trick. And if it is a trick, it worked. I enjoyed the movie. I laughed out loud maybe four or five times. It's not like slap your knee funny. It's kind of like the Spotlight of comedies. You know, a Spotlight was just kind of like an even line all the way through, talking about the Catholic Church rape movie that won Best Picture last year.
No, I'm familiar.
This one is like that, a comedy. Like it's a constant barrage, but there's never any like real peaks.
Right. So if it was a baseball player, he'd be hitting like doubles and singles.
Yeah, a lot of doubles and singles. Not a whole lot of booming home runs.
Gotcha.
The lead character, Blake Jenner, he is a freshman, I should say, and you know, he's a very good pitcher. And he comes in and he starts meeting all of his roommates and whatnot. And each one is different. Each one is very well fleshed out, whether they're believable or not. Here's what I was getting at. By the time the movie is over and the credits are rolling, I'm like, you know what? A good Linklater movie. 2 hours, a little long maybe. I was watching I had to pee. I did have to pee. But I did enjoy it. I don't think it's going to have the staying power that Dazed and Confused had, because that was such a thing at the time.
Yeah, that was a moment in time.
This one might have been on par as far as enjoyability. Now, here's the trick that I'm getting to. After the credits roll, the music credits are always the last credits you see if you sit through the credits. Okay. During the music credits, they all come out, all the characters, one by one, in this bar, and they start doing this rap about their character and about themselves, and I see your face. It fucking works.
Okay.
And it fooled me into making me think that actually I responded to it. And I'm like, and I was like looking forward to the next character. And I'm like, I like this movie more than I actually realized I did.
Send you out with a laugh.
It did. It wasn't even funny. It was just cute and well done. And I'm like, I liked all this character. I was waiting for the next guy. A little light on the girls, and it's definitely bro-y. If this was a TV show, like a weekly TV show, it would probably feel a lot like Entourage, and I would never, ever watch it. But
it's Richard Linklater, so you know it's got some quality to it.
It's Linklater, and you forget that you're in the 80s, so you just start following them. I remember a couple times having to look at their clothes and go, oh my God, yeah, they're wearing 80s clothes. You know, there's one guy who's like always encouraging everyone to dress the part and just be a chameleon and do all he can to slay the bitches. You know what I mean? Like when I went to the punk rock club, he went and got a flannel and tore off the sleeves. I'm like, I hate that guy. Yeah. But
you know that guy.
But he's likable. They're all likable. They're all likable. Everybody wants them.
This sounds good.
This is a movie you're going to come back, and I think you're going to love it. This is a Brian movie.
I saw a movie that... Oh,
yeah. Short of robots.
Oh, stop it. I saw a movie that you liked, I believe, a bit more than Legend. Documentary called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant Dead.
This is a movie that Brian would love, too.
The National Lampoon documentary.
Yes. Very, very condensed.
In what way?
It's dense. I mean, it's just dense. A barrage of
it's also
information.
Condensed. It's also, yes, it is, and it's also condensed. It's directed by Douglas.
It could have been 6 hours.
It could have been 86% Rotten Tomatoes. It is the story of the National Lampoon from its, well, not really, it would be something if it started its humble beginnings at Harvard University in 1876, but really started as a humor magazine. That was the Harvard Lampoon, I should say. The National Lampoon started as a humor magazine in the 60s and became, so my main problem with the movie, it's a good movie. It's funny to start with a problem, is it barely touched on what we all know National Lampoon to be. Like
counterculture.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. When Christy walked in the room and I was finishing the movie with like 8 minutes left, She goes, oh, what is this? I'm like, oh, it's about National Lampoon. She goes, oh, Chevy Chase, Vacation? And I was like, they've actually hardly even talked about that. Like,
I like that though.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have liked them to spend more time on the legacy and what it became.
It made me realize just how much was below the surface of the iceberg. You know what I mean? Like us people who aren't giant National Lampoon fans, we only know like Vacation.
Yeah, because we grew up after the era. Basically.
But there's so much more to it.
There is. There very much is, and I appreciated that about the documentary.
If they spent a bunch of time on the stuff I already know, it's like why?
Yeah,
that was like a throwaway.
That's fair enough. They spent a ton of time, the absurdist satire of the 70s and Nixon, and it was very counterculture, but not even counterculture. It's counterculture sort of like the 60s. This was living in a difficult time, but kind of rebelling against it. You know, all the absurdities of Iran
humor is the best medicine,
Watergate.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were really playing on that because it was a really tumultuous, turbulent time, and this really tapped into something that the nation seemed to respond to and need, which was we need to look at this absurdity of life around us and laugh at it.
Yeah, and opened. I wish I'd written it down, but opened with a great quote, which was something along the line. Oh, did you send me the cast?
Yeah, I just sent you both an email. It's the side-by-side of the upcoming Netflix movie that David Wayne's directing about this story.
Oh, yeah?
So I figured if you wanted to look at it while you're on air, but finish your thoughts
Anderson,
about the movie
first. Anderson, you look it up. I'll bloviate for
I will
a second.
Do that.
What was I talking about?
You were talking about an opening quote.
The opening quote was great, and I wish I'd written it down, but it was something to the effect of, if you're gonna tell them the truth, make sure they're laughing or else they'll kill you. And the
great,
it was
great
sort line. Of a precursor to The Onion in a lot of ways, which is, you know, that truth through parody, in a lot of ways, truth through satire, giving it to the powers that be, giving them a good jab and exposing their hypocrisies and their absurdities and the ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. The magazine took different... By the way, you get great looks. I will say there's some great things about the documentary. I didn't want to start off by talking negatively about it, but it was one thing that jumped out at me. But there are some great things in here. You get a great look at this documentary is great if only for the footage of a pre-SNL John Belushi, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Gilda Radner, Chevy Chase. These are all like young coming up comics. Whoa, you're looking at.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the cast. This looks impressive. I cannot wait for this movie.
Good stunt casting, right?
I'm looking at the stunt casting. Holy shit. Will Forte plays the Doug Kenny guy, right? Then Domhnall Gleeson's playing Henry Beard. Because there's two lead guys that kind of founded National Lampoon.
They were
troubled, turns out. But here's the part. That just, I'm sorry. I lost my shit. Chevy Chase? Who's playing Chevy Chase? Former guest on the Super Program.
Joel McHale. No, is he really?
He is playing Chevy Chase, and that is fucking fantastic because he and Chevy Chase have shared plenty of scenes and space together.
Backstage time.
On Community.
Off-camera time.
And, I have nothing to say, but... Joel has some opinions about Mr. Chase, and it's hilarious that he's playing him.
That's hysterical.
He gets the last laugh, I guess.
So, okay, I'm looking forward to that. So, but you get some great, that era between when these guys were on Second City, their improv comics, and when the SNL launched, you get a look at them sort of really refining their chops and really doing some great work. That was worth it almost alone. If you're an SNL nerd like me, it's almost a must see. And this magazine, National Lampoon, really spawned, directly or indirectly, things like Saturday Night Live and The Simpsons. And you see these other, Caddyshack movie, for example. It's not a National Lampoon movie, but it's directed by Harold Ramis, and it's produced by,
he's part of the canon.
Yeah. It's all off the same coaching tree.
There's a lot of things out there that would not exist without National Lampoon, and I think that's definitely illustrated here. Some other interesting choices. Paul Scheer is playing Paul Schaefer. Not much of a stretch there.
I was going to say, it's kind of stunning. Yeah,
Do you know Rick Glassman? He's playing Harold Ramis.
If I saw him, maybe.
Rick Glassman's been on Loveline a few times. Christopher Guest is going to be played by Seth Green. This is great. Thanks for sending this over, Logan.
It's a great cast.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do really good.
This is Netflix original, right?
Yeah, it'll probably be another year from now. I don't even think they've started filming yet.
Motherfuckers, get to it!
Again, with the title, did you ever figure out what the title meant?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they were all about.
Oh, and that was that was their life trajectory?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, it starts off with, what are they all at first? They're drunk, and then they start getting into drugs, and they are brilliant, and they're proving that, and getting jobs, and having, like, the brass at the top of, I mean, they had some real, like, heavy hitters believing in them and giving them opportunities,
for sure.
And then what happens to a few of them by the end?
There are deaths.
I mean, it's right then and there.
Okay. There you go.
I really love that they paired a lot of the old articles from, or like images and articles from.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. It's a barrage.
They paired it as and used it to tell the story.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like what they were feeling at the time was represented in the old article, in the old images.
Yeah. So much information on the screen.
Someone poured through, I assume it was the director, Douglas Tirola, poured through what had to be volumes of artwork and articles.
It's one of those movies where if you're paying attention, you get tired from watching it and you get tired of thinking about making it. And this is a movie that took lots of effort. There's no quiet moments in this movie.
They had to probably digitize every page of every issue. All right. That's amazing.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you go.
How'd you watch this? Is it streaming?
I sent away for it. It had just come out on Netflix DVD, and I don't know, maybe it's available somewhere else, but it was on my queue.
It's got very limited theatrical
available.
Theatrical release. It was only playing in one theater here in LA, and it's a shame because it's...
This is a movie that should be seen.
Yeah.
Kind of bummed you guys aren't talking about Jungle Book this week.
I have not seen it yet. Have you seen Jungle Book?
Yes, Jungle Book, instant classic, and fantastic movie.
We'll talk about it then.
I'm not going to really flick facet, but I talked about it at length on Cinema Dicks.
Why don't you flick facet? Is there an audience that want to hear about it?
Well, hey, go see it. It's a really good movie. I don't have my notes. I don't have a bunch of stuff
here.
No,
that's enough said.
Listen, it's Disney is killing
go
it.
Go see it.
Disney is fucking killing it. This and Zootopia, both instant classics. I like Zootopia more than this one. I think Zootopia is more clever and more fun. But what I said on Cinematics is what Steven Spielberg did for dinosaurs with Jurassic Park. That's what John Favreau is doing for The Jungle Book and that story.
They got to give him a Star Wars now, right? I mean,
I don't know if they have to
he deserves
give it,
it
to him, but he proved that he can. And the kid is fucking phenomenal. Actors, well trained, professional, growing actors have a hard time working with CGI and whatnot. And this kid, you believe that he's talking to these creatures, these animals. And then it turns out I learned that John Henson, Muppet?
Jim Henson.
John Henson hosted.
I always get confused. Yeah, Jim Henson, John Henson.
Or Talk Soup.
Jim Henson Workshop actually put together a bunch of Muppet-like creatures to...
I went to that workshop.
Did you?
I probably played with those gorilla hands that were in the movie. Yeah.
So they gave them actual like puppeteers and puppets to actually look at and act with rather than just like Andy Serkis running around in spandex.
Yeah, it's the creature workshop. It's really cool there.
So, there's like a... There's a whole nother movie that you could actually watch behind the scenes where he's just acting with the puppets.
Okay.
I would bet. But yes, definitely. I mean, if you want to talk about Jungle Book so bad, that's it.
I mean, but this time next week, I will hopefully have seen Everybody Wants Some and Jungle Book.
And we can talk about it again. Fantastic. You see the problem with the formula? You see the problem?
If it's a good movie, it's worth talking about twice.
Once and then twice and then three times a lady. We talked about Legend again, and we just talked about it in the winter. I was drinking eggnog in here talking about it. Now
recap.
I'm fanning myself with a mister. Talking about it again.
Coming up next. Top 5 fake drugs. Anderson. Yeah. There was a run, which I can only assume was one person, but then again, maybe it was several people, who bought a bunch of movie posters over on the Amazon click-through banner on AndersonandBrian.com.
That happens every now and again. I get it, because I went through that as well, and I decide I want to get a movie poster for my room or for a new space, and I... And then you get on there, and it gets a little addictive.
That's right. It's a little addictive. You're like, well, if I have this one, I got to have this one. Yeah. I don't want people to think that I like this movie, and I don't like that movie.
That's right.
So if someone's redecorating perhaps a movie room, or perhaps their room, perhaps a dorm room. But a bunch of 80s movie posters were purchased. Back to the Future, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, E.T., as well as Pulp Fiction, and Guardians of the Galaxy. All purchased.
Guardians of the Galaxy was from 2 years ago, not the 80s.
I know, Pulp Fiction's from the 90s. That's why I said also. That's why I said also. Sort of the also part. In addition to these 80s movies. Right. Other things that were purchased on the AndersonandBrian.com click-through banner for Amazon include a spare tire carrier cover for a Toyota, specifically Toyota spare tire carrier cover.
Toyota.
What is this here? Oh, have you started registering for stuff for your baby?
No, Brian.
Okay, well,
stop it.
For your baby's son or daughter, probably son. They have the drying rack. Looks like grass. The grass that comes up.
Oh, that's my favorite thing about fatherhood so far.
Someone got that.
Tyler White, my buddy Tyler Tai from the After Disaster. He and I, he knows how much I love it. He's always sending me videos. It's almost like porn of him like putting things into it. Most people know what we're talking about, right?
It looks like wheatgrass.
Every time I go to someone's house, like whether it's my brother or my brother-in-law or my sister-in-law, like they got kids. Every time I go to a person's house that has kids, I always go straight to the kitchen. I see that thing. I don't know what
it's like.
It is
the size of
a
large
satisfying
laptop, and it looks like wheatgrass. It's so it's satisfying. Synthetic. It's plastic, and you put your bottles or whatever on top of it, and it's a drying rack.
It's an early guess, and I'm probably wrong here, but I think it's gonna be my favorite part of being a parent is working with that thing. I think I know I'll probably be wrong, but that's my hunch right now.
It might be. Someone bought a Microsoft Surface Pro, Pro 4 that is, as well as a Pro 4 cover in blue. Thank you for getting that through us. It was not a cheap item. Someone got a Bose SoundLink around ear wireless headphones, a Sony 2.1 channel soundbar with wireless subwoofer.
Sunny.
Alaska Smokehouse smoked salmon jerky. Some smoked salmon jerky. That's pretty damn good, actually. A barbecue grill mat. I'm tempted to get this. This is the silicone mat that goes on top of the grill. You can grill things like something with a sauce or an egg or something like that that might drip through otherwise. You grill the mat. Mm-hmm. Tempted to try it. A all-clad MasterChef 2 stainless steel fry pan was purchased. Also I've never seen this before, but a stainless steel ultrasonic cleaner. It's basically like a deep cleaner that you set on top of your, basically like a slow cooker, but it's a cleaner. You put things inside and it like vaporizes.
Like sex toys and stuff.
I guess you could do sex toys.
They do. They use them for that.
Fujitsu scanner for PC and Mac. A 10-inch memory foam king-size mattress. Champion Sports rubber horseshoe set. Can't hurt the kids there with the metal horseshoes. And also a bathtub, 67 inches white, Delta faucet, maybe the same person. And someone got a Schlage keypad deadbolt in satin nickel. Thanks for keeping yourself safe. We appreciate it.
Smooth, buddy. Like here are the movies that were click through since the last time I saw you. Elysium. Elysium was clicked through as well as Spectre. I don't think Brian even likes Spectre.
Spectre wasn't that good.
The Big Short was clicked through as well as Bodyguard, 1992's Bodyguard. We miss you. I still miss her a little bit. Whitney.
Kevin Costner?
Whitney.
Oh, Whitney.
Her. I said her. Quite loud and clear with the her. 3 Days of the Condor was clicked through as well. Quality films of All the President's Men, National Lampoon's Animal House. Apropos. Days to Confused, apropos, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Harvard Hitchcock, The Essential Collections, that's a bunch of movies, all that jazz, Ant-Man, Captain America, movies. The First Avenger, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 1, Lawrence of Arabia, Predator 1 through 3, The Revenant, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Godfather, Coppola, Restoration, Gift Set, Transporting, The White Men Can't Jump, racist.
I don't think it's racist at all.
It kind of is.
It's a really good movie.
Black Man Can Jump.
It's an underrated.
Can you imagine
movie.
You making a movie called Black Man Can Jump?
Black Man sure can jump.
There would be riots.
Boy, howdy.
I'd be right there at the front lines, too.
There might be some racism.
Let's riot against the bald man.
There might be some racism coming up later.
Of course, because you're going to be a part of the broom.
Safe.
Back to the broom.
Hey, it's Bobcat Goldthwait, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Join me under the blanket and touch my feet. I like this. This is a sweet groove. I like that.
I dig this too.
Yeah.
What is this? I like it.
This makes me feel better about the racism that's about to happen.
Why is the racism going to happen, Brian?
It's not my choice.
Yeah, you have a choice. It's 100% your choice. No one else involved in this.
We'll get there.
Hey, we got a live show coming up, right?
What? Oh, we're going to announce that next week.
We're going to announce the deets next week.
Okay. First Devler Film Vault live show. It's been a long time coming.
We got the location nailed down. We got the time and
date. Pretty sweet location.
Locked down. We're just working out some of the logistics and whatnot. But we will be announcing those deets next week. In the meantime, this comes out Friday, so a little late notice here. And I know a lot of you guys listen to this a few days after it's out. But if you're in Los Angeles and if tickets are still available, the After Disaster will be doing a live show this Saturday, April 24th. Is that right? April 23rd? April 23rd at the Improv, Hollywood Improv, the After Disaster live show. It's going to be a meeting of the After Disaster Brain Trust, Brian. It's
when is
a little gathering.
Show? When is the actual show?
Saturday, April 23rd, 10 p.m.
Oh, is this Saturday? Can you buy tickets ahead of time, or is it only walk out? Is it only like box office tickets?
No, you can go let's say in the perfect scenario, you live local L.A., you got nothing to do Saturday night, you want to be a part of the After Disaster, gathering, little get-together, and you hate yourself, and you don't understand what comedy is, and you think you might find it over there at the After Disaster, everything's lining up for you. Go over to hollywoodimprov.com.
Really is the planets aligning.
And tickets, $10. Or you can buy at the door for like 12, I think. But it might be sold out by now. I don't know. It's going to be a... keep it a secret, but it's my Toronto birthday gathering. Shh.
Okay. How old is Toronto?
Very last minute we threw this together last
week. That's old.
It'll be a good time. All right. Also on the After Disaster this week, I'll be talking about a not-so-sweet showing of one of my shorts at the Chinese Theater last weekend.
Oh, how'd it go?
Brutal.
Sure, I totally forgot to... Oh, I was brutal about it. I was brutal about it.
Just it fell on deaf ears, Brian. It was a learning experience for sure.
Okay.
But it got into the festival. It's got into a few festivals now.
What happened and what did
you learn? It was in a block of dark comedies, dark comedy shorts. There was 12 of them total. Mine played 11th. And there didn't seem to be a whole lot of laughter in the audience when mine was up there. My wife seems to think it's because of the subject matter. Dog rape is not funny, she says. I say, no, it is funny, especially to people that make dark comedies, who that audience was primarily composed of.
Was there one guy laughing loudly? Because that's your audience.
There was a couple.
Okay.
There was a couple people. It felt a little flat as opposed to other screenings that I've been to. I think it's just I had too many moving parts and moving pieces. It was kind of hard to keep up with.
What did you learn?
I learned that I got to maybe strip things down and simplify them. And you can't ask too much of an audience, especially when it's a short, to be able to be invested enough to care about the names and different moving parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you win?
There was no competition. Okay. It was just get in or not get in.
Did you feel like
getting into a festival is tough enough, especially out here in LA?
Oh, of course,
it's difficult. So, and I got to see it on the big screen, and you see every single little mistake,
and
you hear every single little mistake there at the Chinese Theater. But learning. This is all learning. It's all a learning.
If you had one going in Pennsylvania or Indiana, Pennsylvania,
yeah, that's this Saturday.
Ooh.
So if you're not in LA,
if you're closer to Indiana, Pennsylvania,
while I'm doing a live show at the Improv, I'm going to have four of my five shorts screening at Flick, the Flick Film Festival. And I know a few of you are going because I got a couple emails from you guys.
Nice.
So can't wait to hear how those go down over there.
Now, is there competition there? Can you win something there?
There may be. I don't know.
Okay. Vote for Anderson.
Logan, you were at Cold Cockle Night.
Yeah.
Brian was not. But do you remember the one about the blind guy with the stutter who got the wrong dog?
Yeah.
Was that one a little hard to follow?
For a general audience, yeah. But I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay, good. You could probably keep up. But I realized... A little like Big Lebowski. Not that I'm saying there's anything like Big Lebowski, but Big Lebowski, I did not laugh at all the first time I saw it because I was trying to keep up with what's happening.
Lends itself to repeated viewings.
And who the fuck's going to watch a short by a no-name multiple times? Right. You are when you're able to rent it soon.
Oh,
that's coming soon, guys. Coming
exciting.
Soon.
Okay, top five film drugs.
Let's do it.
Fake drugs, fake narcotics, fake pharmaceuticals.
Hey, just things that alter your state.
That's right.
Your state of mind, man, that are fake. My number one, Giant Doobie and Cheech and Chong. Oh, wait, it's a real drug.
It's a real drug, actually.
My list is fun.
Any crossover?
We may have one. And mine is, I'm gonna be honest, it's heavy in the 90s. I'm sorry, but that seems to be where the ones that really spoke to me.
None of mine are in the 90s.
Good.
In fact, I will say there was one that I painfully had to extract from my list because the movie I just used too much and it was so obvious. I'm like, how can I not put this on?
Right.
You know what?
Good.
This is a good enough category. There were enough choices
good instincts,
of movies
buddy.
That we don't talk about. And also this one, I'll just say it now as an also-ran because it's so good. Gleeman X from Brain Candy. This is, I saw that. This is the ultimate.
In my research, I'm like...
The whole movie's about Gleeman X.
If Brian's coming to the task, yeah, he's going to meet the task, and if he's learned anything in the last 10 years working with me here, he's not going to lean on that movie this time.
No.
He's not going to do it because he knows he'll be ridiculed and scorned.
I've evolved. I've grown. Well done. I hope you look at me in a different light.
Look, though, this is the only movie we're talking about thus far, so you win.
All right, number five for me. Gleeman X from Brain Candy.
Go.
Number five for me is a comedy of a movie I liked much more than I expect. Actually, that is a running theme, Anderson. Mm. Movies I liked much more than I expected to. I'm looking at pretty much at least four out of my five were movies I had low expectations for and ended up liking much more. Funny coincidence. Or is it causality or
oh, I thought you say, or is it quinky dink? Correlation? I was going to punch
causation
you.
Or correlation?
Stop it, bro.
I did not expect to like 22 Jump Street nearly as much as I did, directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
You shouldn't have liked it. You're wrong.
22 Jump Street?
Yeah.
No, 22 Jump Street was funny.
No, 21 Jump Street was funny.
No, this is better.
22 was 22 not. What? No.
Absolutely.
Absolutely
way
not.
Better. Way better.
22 just followed all the tropes you'd expect, and I was expecting to see in 21.
22 was better.
21 was like reversed, where Channing Tatum is like scorned because like the new hipsters don't like his time. Right. They don't like his kind.
That's right.
Jonah Hill's killing it.
He was
hilarious.
He was the popular one.
22, it's like what you'd expect. Jonah Hill's a schlub, and Channing Tatum's killing it. No, boring. Seen that before.
They have to switch identities.
The opening scene with was there an octopus involved or something? Stupid. Wasn't there an octopus?
I don't think so.
In the back of the truck.
Yeah, a squid like jumps out.
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Stupid dumb. Hey, I'm going to go to Rotten Tomatoes right now. Will you do your little drug?
Okay. The drug is called...
Good pick, though. Good drug.
The drug name is Work Hard? Yes. Play Hard? Yes. WHYPHY. Pronounced Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Is that funny? You're looking around the room. There's only two of us here.
I had the same reaction as I think the audience did. I think that was supposed to be a much bigger joke in the movie than it was. But it is called Wi-Fi. Work Hard, Yes. Play Hard, Yes. And it is, according to Ice Cube, quote, Adderall mixed with ecstasy mixed with God knows what. It gets you laser focused for about 4 hours of studying. And then, quote, you party like it's goddamn 1999. The main characters do take the Wi-Fi and experience its effects, all while talking to Rob Riggle, the school administrator. He's the coach. And phase one, as they explain, is the gigs. They get the giggles. Phase two, tripping major ball sack.
Mm-hmm.
There's five phases.
It's very bro-like.
Phase three, over falsity of confidence. Tatum solves a complicated formula by just writing fours all over the board. And he says, fuck you, science. And he
runs. Isn't this the first one?
No, Wi-Fi. Isn't that the second one?
They did drugs in the first one,
too. I think the first one might be... Which one's with Franco's brother?
Both of them.
Dave Franco.
Or, well, he's a cameo.
Wait, did I fuck this up? Is this 21 Jump Street?
I think you're mixing
it. It might be the good one.
I think they're both infiltrating drugs, but they're doing it in college.
No, this is the second one because he says, you two are old as shit. You're going to college.
The first one is he's hanging out with nerds and he's like... I think I remember the equation from the first one.
Is it bad that I'm hoping so? Is it bad that I'm really rooting for you to be wrong?
Can you Google Wi-Fi? Because it's only in one movie.
Wi-Fi is the second one, but well, I...
There you go. Man. No, I watched the scene where they trip balls. He definitely solves a complicated equation in a college class by writing simply the number four all over the board, and then he screams, fuck you, science, and runs out.
And then does he drop the chalk?
Yeah, he runs out.
Real effectively.
It's a whiteboard.
Does he do drop the mic thing?
I think he kind of spikes it.
Spiking it might be okay.
And then phase
I'm sick
four.
Of people. Are you sick of people dropping stuff? Like, isn't that played out? You're not being funny anymore when you do that.
Dropping the mic is a trope of a bygone past.
Cartoon animals are doing it now. Stop it.
That's when you know
it's over. Yeah. It's done. Right. It's finished. Cool black people start it. Then nerdy white people try and imitate it. And then cartoon fucking rabbits end up doing it to kill it. Okay? It's done. Stop dropping shit.
Phase four is fuck yeah, motherfucker, where you kind of just go crazy. And phase five is a sleepiness.
A sleepiness.
And I recommend you can watch and enjoy this standalone scene on YouTube without really knowing much about the movie.
What do we got here, Logs? What do we got?
This is from 21 Jump Street.
What?
Oh, no. Bri. My dreams.
Oh, my God. I really messed this up.
Have been answered. Wait, does he drop it or does he spike?
He dropped it.
Yeah, you fucking dropped it. You fucking dropped it.
Did I mix up the two? This is embarrassing.
Yeah, you did. Well, they're both very similar because they both are. Although
that's kind of the point, though, is that they're both so similar. Like that's part of the joke.
This just in, too, Brian. Bad news on Rotten Tomatoes as far as 21 versus 22. Dead tie, 85%.
Bad news.
So we're both wrong.
And you know they're making the what's it called MIB 23 that was teased in the end credits of the second one. They're moving forward with that. And they're actually making that crossover film.
Uh-huh. I must have. They don't make them because they're good, though. They make them because they're good for the box office. So they just take all the jokes that didn't work good enough for the first.
I think it was this scene that I remembered from the first one that I'm one on my list. I don't remember Wi-Fi being that.
Hey, Brian.
I guess I remember Wi-Fi being that crazy of a drug. Damn it! I'm sorry, listeners.
It's okay, buddy.
This is one of the worst. Yeah, you can be able
to look at me right now.
What's that?
Can you recover?
I've already forgotten.
Okay, you got
I've already
this.
Forgotten about
you
got this. I've already forgotten about
it. We got a show to get to, okay?
I'm like a cornerback in the NFL. Like I have short memory. I got burned for a touchdown. So what?
The drug in the first movie is called HFS. Holy fucking shit.
Okay, there's five phases to that
so
one.
Is that
God damn.
That's the drug that we're going
That's
over?
Right, because Rob Rogan is like shot in the dick and he's in the jail
so you
in
have
the
wrong
one.
Drug.
Mm-hmm. He only has a cameo
one.
In the second
God
one.
God damn it. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I fucked up. And
21 Jump Street is your number five.
It really is.
I HFS. Credited a scene from Easy Rider that was not from Easy Rider.
That's true.
Once. So,
hey, Logan,
okay?
Just for fun, if you guys remember, is there anything notable about Wi-Fi in the second one?
There's nothing notable about the second one. It was not good.
I don't remember much of it. I remember it being more about drinking.
Number five for me.
Damn it.
Yeah, the second one was what you would expect the first one to be, but it wasn't. That's why it was good. And the second one was just what you did. Number five for me. This is from a movie that I openly dislike. I see this cheat. See, what did I talk to you about moments ago? About forgetting it.
I'm back.
No, you're not. You're over here. You're reeling, Brian.
Now I'm doing research.
You're reeling. Close your book.
I'm doing the research I should have done earlier. God damn it.
What do you think of Jacob's Ladder, Brian?
You know, I've never seen that. I'm familiar with the twist, though, so you can talk about it all you want. It's a cultural touchstone at this point. Should I have seen Jacob's
Ladder? I don't like Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, you don't? Oh, there you go.
Even young Anderson did not like Jacob's Ladder, and I should have because it was punk rock to an extent. It was evil, it was creepy, and it was like, wow, man, it's fucking
it
trippy,
yo.
Dude, fucking movie blew my mind, bro. Total mind fuck. You don't know what's real, what's not. When I talk about how I don't like unreliable narrators, I don't for the most part, and Jacob's Ladder is always the movie that I point to because it's a cheat. I feel like it's... Everything when it turns out most everything you're seeing is just from a dream
or a coma. Vision.
It's just like, and you better get really, really awesome visuals and stuff that I will never forget.
Right.
And I don't feel like
I.e. the cell.
However, the aggression-enhancing drug created by the U.S. Army's Chemical Warfare Division, Brian, in Saigon during the Vietnam War and tested on American troops in the Mekong Delta, which had horrific results, was called Ladder, which is where the title comes from, Jacob's Ladder. And... it's based on the Army's purported experimentation with a hallucinogenic drug called BZ. And as you, without giving anything too much away, even though I said it's an unreliable narrator, you learn that this drug Ladder was created to enhance the aggression of troops.
Okay.
And there's something so evil and horrifying about the thinking, giving American soldiers... or any soldiers, some kind of experimental drug to make them bloodthirsty and almost not even human anymore, like humanoids at that point, where they just become so crazed for violence. And, you know, you learn... I think this would come off as a much better book than a movie. I just didn't like it. Directed by Adrian Lin. It was based on...
it was one of those movies that I always felt like I should see at some point, but I never really felt compelled.
It was based on a lot of the imagery. They forget the guy, the artist's first name, but his last name's Bacon. Familiar with Bacon?
Kevin?
No, not Kevin.
I don't know.
It's creepy. And, you know, I can see a lot of people like thinking that they're really clever and fun, having a good time eating mushrooms or smoking tons of weed, man, watching Jacob's Ladder. Such a trip, bro. But it just pissed me off. Right. It pissed me off in the same way that The Village pissed me off.
Okay.
Fuck The Village.
Actually, The Village was better than people gave it shit for, but
no,
it wasn't.
Because the trailer leads you to believe that there's creatures up and down, back and forth. And that's not even what the movie's about when you sit down.
Right.
So fuck you for selling me a fake bill of goods.
Okay.
The monster's hand was just on special needs, Adrian Brody.
Wow, spoiler alert.
And penicillin is what they forgot to include in their fake little village. Penicillin! And you get to see M. Night Shyamalan in his little reflection because he has to put himself in a cameo as the sheriff reading a fucking newspaper at the end. Infuriating. Fuck The Village.
Did he have a cameo in After Earth?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. Is that in the future?
There's only two people in that entire movie.
That's what I'm saying.
He might have been like hiding by a rock as they were squirrel diving. Remember the squirrel flying around? Like hiding by like a little tree stump.
I actually didn't think it was...
Fuck The Village, Brian.
Well, The Village, yeah. But After Earth was a bad movie, but it wasn't...
No,
we
both defended it a little bit. There's much worse movies out there with higher ratings. Hey, a listener brought this up.
What's up?
I know I'm a little bit all over the place.
You are.
You know why? It's a normal week.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to offer you coffee.
I usually am all over the place. We should do top five movies that have scored under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I saw that.
I know the cutoff is 60% for Rotten or Fresh, but let's go. I think that'd be a fun topic.
I agree. I'm on board. We'll do it. How about we call it top five rotten movies, but we ourselves
bang done
stick to under 50.
Gotcha. I like it.
Truly rotten.
Okay, let's cut this all off.
See you next week. Do for Van Gogh.
Don't ever say that again.
Do it for Van Gogh.
Go, Brian. Why?
Do it for Van.
What are you? Are you testing?
Do it for Van Gogh.
Do it one more time.
I don't do it right. If I say it like three times into a mirror, do you appear?
Wake up, God damn it. Yeah, that was pretty better. That was better.
It was a little better.
A lot better. Mm. Go. Maybe it was just on the heels
I'm back.
On the heels of your horrible doing it for Van Gogh, it sounded perfect.
Oh, I'm back after my fumble on number five. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you throw an interception on the first series. You come back.
Stop it with your football analogies on this episode. Why?
All right.
Quarterbacks.
Let's huddle up and throw deep.
Let's regroup.
With number four.
Back to the drawing.
Number four. Let me get that clip right because I want to play it first. This is a movie that I was turned on to by a listener. I think, I forget if you and I saw it at the same time. Or
I swear to God, if I had three wishes right now.
Yeah.
One would be like a lot of money, and one would be like a good long life for my wife, and then the third one would be for this clip to be like from a different movie, and you're wrong. That would be one of my three wishes.
Rookie mistake. You're supposed to wish for unlimited wishes.
Yeah, come on.
That's a
stupid wisher.
Stupid wisher. You're such a bad wisher. All right, I'm sorry.
All right, number four is Logan's going to play the clip. This is let's just play it.
Are the faces of contrary. With contrary, one little blue pill gives all day control. Side effects may include vomiting, shortness of breath, nausea, blurred vision, liver and kidney problems, constipation, and anal bleeding. Contrary has been known to cause heart attack in some old uncles. Contrary is not meant for servants who are nursing or about to drop a litter. Ask your veterinarian about contrary today.
They say veterinarian, which is extremely offensive because they're talking about black people. In CSA, the Confederate States of America, this is one of the interstitial
deep
advertisements.
Deep pull.
It is very offensive.
Yes,
and they are talking about servants that are slaves, essentially, in the Confederate States of America, a 2004 mockumentary written and directed by Kevin Wilmot. Mm-hmm. I forget if you saw this first or if we saw it at the same time, but I think a listener may have turned us on to it.
Yes. Alternative histories.
This is an alternative history.
Much like The Man in the High Castle.
What would have happened if the South had won the Civil War?
This movie was not good. That's the problem with this movie. It's not a good movie.
There are some great things in this movie. Overall, it is not quite as good as I wanted it. It's not nearly as good as I wanted it to be. But the interstitials, there's probably about a dozen of them. Some are advertisements. Most are advertisements.
The ads were the only thing that actually did anything.
Those interstitial ads are brilliant. And there's one for a drug called Contrary. And it is to make the servants, your black servants, a little more docile, make them less likely to run away. And there are some adverse side effects. And see your veterinarian if your servant develops any of these side effects. But otherwise, they should keep your servant nice and docile.
Ryan, we're not doing top five fantasy scenes here.
Stop it. Stop it.
This for you.
But this is a...
You were gleeful when that was playing.
It's pretty funny. I
don't... You know what?
It's not a narcotic.
Now the line, now that I know what it's from... has caused heart attack in some uncles.
Yep, some old uncles. Uncle Toms.
Uncle Toms. I thought they were just trying to be like random and like, uncles are old and funny.
Nope.
Oh, I get it.
Because they showed an old black guy like smiling, a big old,
I remember this movie. I
grin.
Saw it like in 2008, 2009, and I remember the only thing that I really thought was clever or fun or worked were the commercials.
For
the most
pretty
part,
great.
It was just goofy, over the top, uncomfortable.
Well, it's definitely uncomfortable, but I didn't think it was. But the one thing that bothered me was the through line of like the descendant of this guy who's running for like that. That was almost like a through line didn't need to be. But there was some very incisive satire in this movie. It's pretty. It's worth. You can stream the thing on Netflix or excuse me on YouTube for free. So check it out if you want to see CSA, the Confederate States of America. Contrary. They'll keep your servant docile.
Number four for me. Scat. Remember Scat, Brad?
Oh wait, I do have Scat written.
Scat.
Down.
1998, Robert Rodriguez
made
a film
list.
Called The Faculty, yeah. which has come up recently. Over the last year, I'd say it's come up 2-3 times on one list or another.
It was on my top 5 ensemble casts.
And scat is the name of the illicit homemade drug that is sold to the students.
By Josh Hartnett.
By Hartnett. Who? What happened to that guy?
What happened
Did he get
to
married
Hartnett?
To a rich producer and that rich producer
read that
like to hide him away?
He stopped working almost in protest. He's like, I don't like Hollywood. I don't like the way this business works. Because say what you about Josh
Sounds
Hartnett.
Like he was bitter britches to me.
May have been, but I think Josh Hartnett was a legit movie star and I looked forward to seeing him in things. Mm-hmm.
He
did.
He made that movie Pearl Harbor.
It's because he was in a bad movie. Doesn't mean he was bad. He was in a Michael Bay movie.
Other than Ben Affleck, who else? Cuba Gooding Jr., his career kind of nosedived.
Alec Baldwin was in that movie.
Okay, good point. Moving on. Scat is shown as a white powder clandestinely hidden in the empty shafts of ballpoint pens, Brian, and the users, they inhale the drug directly from the shaft of the pen. Zeke states that the drug is mostly caffeine and other household shit, and therefore it has a major diuretic property.
Yes.
Properties.
That's right. A young Danny Masterson is one of his customers.
It's a good movie. I remember this is a movie that kind of came out of nowhere, and Robert Rodriguez wasn't really like a household name at that point.
Right.
And
it was written by Kevin Williamson, who was, in Hollywood circles because he was the writer of Dawson's Creek.
Right. This is before Rodriguez and Tarantino struck up a partnership. Yeah.
I'm always a little bit surprised that this movie doesn't get the sort of retro love that it deserves.
Like the retro cult status that it deserves. I mean, it's got everything in it.
It's
got
a
everything.
Huge cast. It was number one on my ensemble cast just for the depth of the younger stars who had yet to become stars. This is a great job of casting. 51% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Kevin Williamson did direct it. And Clea Duvall's in this. Wrote it. Josh Hartnett, Clea Duvall.
Oh, my God. We could go on and on with them. Usher's in this movie.
Yes, a lot of people. Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin, Brad. All right.
John Stewart.
Robert Patrick. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in this movie. Mm-hmm. 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 Elijah Wood. Mm-hmm. The Good Son. Mm-hmm.
The Good Son. That's right. His most memorable role. You know, Elijah Wood from The Good Son.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Number three for me. I think I have a clip here. No, I don't. Number three is a movie that you said I would like. You said it was a Brian type of movie. I was trepidatious. But I ended up enjoying it more than I anticipated. And after I saw it, maybe 12, 13 years too late, Equilibrium.
Yes, this is a movie that you would like and I would not.
I did. Prozium is the name of the drug. This is written and directed by Kurt Vimmer, 2002. And Prozium is a powerful emotional suppressant, Anderson. The government is a totalitarian government. The emotion is outlawed, and they make their citizens take Prozium. Mm-hmm. They claim that human emotion is a disease, and its symptoms are hate, anger, rage, and war.
Right.
And thus, Prozium is presented as a cure.
You think anyone during the debates that were probably occurring while they were trying to impose this ever said, well, what about love?
Well, it was after World War III, so who knows what the country was like after that. This is in the
void of
this
love.
This is in the future. Maybe there were no debates. Maybe it was a totalitarian rule.
This
was
a movie rife with horrific scenes, one after the other. Just
no.
Cheap Matrix ripoff bullshit.
Okay, unfortunately.
And I get a lot of hate from people who are passionate about this movie. This movie really ruffles feathers when I speak out against it and people tell me I just don't get it. But it just felt like a cheap Matrix ripoff.
I'll meet you halfway and say that
the dog scene.
The dog scene was great.
I believe we talked about the dog scene recently.
I will meet you halfway and say number one, yes, it is very influenced by the Matrix. And number two, it does look cheap. And I mentioned that it was like a $20 million budget.
That's one of my pet peeves. Is like if you don't have a budget, but you do all you can to try and make it look
like
it
automata,
is sleek,
like automata,
sleek Hollywood. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. If you're cheap, do something with grit and do something real and honest. Don't try and do a cheap imitation.
It attempted to be grand, and it just didn't have enough lead in its pencil.
Right.
It just couldn't get there. That said, I liked a lot about Equilibrium. I appreciated the ambition. I liked the scope and the scale. I liked what it tried to say. I loved the dystopian future. It did feel a little cheap, but I forgave it.
Counterfeit.
I didn't get that.
And I love Christian Bale.
Christian Bale is fantastic.
You ever see Harsh Times?
No.
Get to it.
Okay.
Why have you not seen Green Room yet? Had nothing to do with Christian Bale, but Green Room's playing down the street.
Didn't it just come out?
Jeremy Sunya, yes.
Okay. Well,
get on it.
I'll see it. I got
do you not co-host a very popular movie podcast?
No, I co-host the Film Vault.
Good one. set you up there. Here's a movie that I'd like to talk about.
Please do.
Bug powder, Brian. That's the drug. Bug powder. Talking about William S. Burroughs, Naked Lunch.
Ah, never saw Naked Lunch.
You ever, was William S. Burroughs like a professor of yours or something?
No, why?
I don't know. I remember. Oh, who was?
T.C. Boyle.
T.C. Boyle, but okay.
Not a big, doesn't write a lot about drugs.
Naked Lunch, very unaccessible movie to say the least. This is not a movie that it was made for everyone. Directed by David Cronenberg. He knows how to make a movie that is hard to watch.
Is this a fictitious drug?
This is a fictitious drug. Okay. Peter Weller stars in this one, as well as Judy Davis, Ian Holm, and Roy Scheider. Yellow powder, Brian. Here's what bug powder is. Yellow powder initially used by exterminators to kill bugs, but when it's injected into the bloodstream, it can cause what Joan Lee describes, that's played by Peter Weller, lead character, Joan Lee describes as a literary high and may or may not be hallucinogenic. It is also quite habit-forming. It causes habits, Brian. Another drug that is mentioned in Naked Lunch, which I have not seen in well over a decade, is black meat. Black meat is another drug which supposedly is derived from the guts of giant centipedes.
Dude.
Now, there is a lot of unreliable narration going on, as is often the case when you're talking about movies that have fake drugs in them, because a lot of time the lead characters are on drugs. But this is essentially, as far as I could tell from my limited knowledge of drugs, which is expansive, William S. Burroughs has a lot of experience with drugs as well. And I think when he was writing this, it had to do with stimulants and making you think that the government is out to get you, and people in suits and uniforms coming out at you at all times. And that's kind of what the lead character is dealing with here. There's a lot of paranoia, to say the least.
What year is this?
1991.
Okay.
And I think most of us are familiar with at least the name.
William S. Burroughs?
No.
Oh, Naked Lunch.
Yes. Yeah. Famous book, famous novel, yep. And then David Cronenberg whipped up a movie about it starring Peter Weller.
There should be a biopic about William S. Burroughs.
Have you ever seen this?
I have not, but I've seen Drugstar Cowboy.
Do you remember, was it Bart Simpson leaving this with Milhouse and... Leaving. Somebody was.
Oh, yeah. I want my. That's two things that were wrong about that title or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. About how there was no nakedness and there's no lunches to be had.
I feel like it was either. Yeah, was it Lenny or Carl? There are two things that were wrong about that title. Yeah, whatever. It was a funny joke. Why is there not a William S. Burroughs biopic? That guy lived a crazy life. His wife ended up dead in like a hotel room or something like that when they were together.
There is some very funny stuff in Naked Lunch involving. Who was the famous person that shot the apple off the head?
Well, William Tell.
Yes. Peter Weller does just that a couple times in this movie.
I think that's how the wife died. Shit, now I'm completely messing that up. This is not a good episode for me.
Naked Lunch is not a great movie, but it is memorable. And I immediately thought of how they're injecting bug juice, bug powder. Good.
Coming up next.
Yes.
The conclusion. I have one pharmaceutical and one narcotic. Actually, they could both be considered narcotics, I suppose.
Would you stop it with trying to break them down into different categories? Drugs, drugs.
Next.
Brian, you know those guys that are like they're their own boss and they own a company and they do their own thing?
Oh, I envy those guys.
Yeah, you do.
I really do.
But they don't get to choose when they work.
That's actually, if I was to choose between those two, I would be tempted to choose make my own schedule. You know what I mean? Like being able to work.
They might not have a boss, but still their work is always coming at them. They wake up in the middle of the night to problems and this and that. That's why Uber is really like being your own boss, but in the best sense of the word.
Because you're talking about guys who drive with Uber.
Get to choose when you work.
That's pretty sweet. And also, like I told you, Matt Fondelier from the Adam Carolla Show drove with Uber, and he explained to me that when there's surge pricing, it like pops up an alert at you, like, "Hey, the prices are like two times, three times, or whatever. Right. Get out there and make hay."
And it also means with supply and demand, they need your work more than ever. So.
Yeah, totally. You're fishing in a populated pond.
It's a business model that is proving to work, and you can be a part of it, and you can drive with Uber too.
Yeah, start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want and earning extra money in your schedule. Extra money, hell, some people do it full time. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drive with
UBER.com.
Welcome back. Time for two more drugs each. No crossover yet, Anderson.
You know what? If we were a better show, we'd be doing lots of narcotics on this episode.
Right now.
And oddly enough, we are recording on 420.
Ooh. Oh, stop it.
We're the worst.
Everyone stop it.
We're the worst.
You know how much bad hacky talk radio I heard today while driving around the streets of LA?
Oh, dude.
All making their hilarious 420 jokes.
Between 420 being Wednesday and tax day being Monday, can you imagine?
What are you, this is
New Year's and Christmas for morning radio.
Every time there's a little mistake on air, what are you, hi? I know it's 420, you know. Shut the fuck up! Goddamn people!
You think any morning radio shows bumped in with Taxman by the Beatles on tax day? You think that happened? Hey, it's tax day, everybody. Hope you're doing your taxes. Hey, call up and we'll have our flunky do your taxes for you. That'll be a gas.
Okay. I don't think even they say gas, Brian. Let's go.
Probably some parts of the country they do.
Wake up, white people.
Number two.
I know they say that. Certain parts of the country.
It's also true. Number two for me is probably the first one, the first two I thought of. Couldn't unseat them.
Hey, me too.
Hey, how about that?
My top two.
Shit, we're going to have crossover.
None.
Sure.
None skis.
No crossover.
Keep it up. I would hope not.
Is NZT 48 on yours?
Nope.
Really?
Because it was just on my list.
Really? What was it?
Because,
what
you know, here's an issue that we're having.
What's that?
A few weeks ago, we did fake products.
Right.
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 You and I both did some things that could have landed on this list.
Also true. There is some...
You're talking about Limitless, right?
I am talking about Limitless.
Yes. See, that was on my
okay,
list.
Okay, fair enough.
That was on my top five fictitious products list.
That's why I left off
I
Gleamin
want a pill
X.
that makes me smarter. See, I didn't say smart. Because that would
smarter.
Been, yeah, see? You see that?
Smarter than...
Than the dumb person that
are,
I am. Yeah.
NZT 48 is the plot device in Limitless, directed by Neil Berger and starring Bradley Cooper. The drug that he takes, the farm, is it, how does he get it? I forget. That's the only part I couldn't find is how he got the drug. Who gave it to him? Was it De Niro?
Okay, I love this movie.
No, it wasn't De Niro.
And I saw it twice. And I remember it really snuck up on me because it was straight to video. I think that a listener
the
actually
trailer
said, you have
terrible.
To watch this. You
the
have to watch this movie. And I remember he's walking across to a building as a failed writer, like a screenwriter. He's walking across and some shady character gives it to him somehow.
It's not even his failed writer. It's this launches his whole character arc. It's like he can't get out of his own way. He's constantly working on a draft. Can't get through enough
chapters. Writer's block, that old
yeah. He's
trope.
Always putting it off and working, chipping away at it. But
by the way, I've never had writer's block. Have you ever had it? I've never experienced that. I might not be writing well, but I always have something to
you know. What's interesting?
Put down on paper.
I've never had writer's block, but I have a hard time sometimes, getting the motivation, but the momentum to write. Like just getting starting writing. Like once I started writing, it's very easy. The words come pretty easily.
I didn't need this whole
dissertation
asked. On.
You're the worst. You literally ask a question as I'm answering it. You tune out, and not only tune out, you actively work against the answer.
She's still talking. Limitless is not streaming right now. I was going to watch the beginning real quick to figure it out. Now it's got me bugged. I'm going to watch it in traffic as I leave.
NZT 48 is a...
Is it on Netflix? Is it on Fuckflix?
It is a nootropic. Nootropic? 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 That comes... Neurotropic. Sorry, tropic. Tropic. That comes as a small clear pill, which vastly increases a user's intelligence. If already smart, the gain is exponential. However, the enhancement is only temporary, requiring long-term commitment, and the user is at risk of death if he or she goes on it too long. Here is Bradley Cooper describing what it's like to take NZT-48.
It's a euphemism for cocaine.
For the first time. I wouldn't know.
What was this drug? I couldn't stay messy on it. I hadn't had a cigarette in 6 hours. Hadn't eaten. So, abstemious and tidy? What was this? A drug for people who wanted to be more anal retentive? I wasn't high, wasn't wired, just clear. I knew what I needed to do and how to do it.
This comes during a great montage, or at the end, I should have a great montage. Remember, he's cleaning up his apartment. Like, he takes the drug for the first time. He achieves this incredible clarity and motivation, and he walks into his previously disgusting apartment, and he's like, well, who lives here? Like, I gotta clean this place up. And you start to see him all over the apartment. It's almost, it's a time-lapse montage of him cleaning, organizing, getting his life together.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good scene.
It's not a perfect movie.
No, but it's a good
and
movie.
And then we saw that with Requiem for a Dream.
We saw it with Crazy Stupid Love. I mean, it's a trope. The montage of the person doing a lot of things quickly.
Yes,
but
it's the cleaning
good,
of the apartment in particular.
No, it's a good movie. Limitless.
Yeah, and it kind of came up out of nowhere. I don't know why this was relegated. It's another one of those movies where I'm sure there's a story behind it. You know, with De Niro and Cooper. You have to imagine Cooper's bigger now.
Well, he had just come out with the Hangover 2 years before, less than 2 years before. This was his first like starring role outside of that series. And this was March of 2011. And I remember thinking, March, this trailer looks terrible. I am not. It's starring the stupid guy from the Hangover. I'm not interested. And it was good.
Seems to have worked because they have a TV show based on it now.
Yeah, I saw that.
They do. All right, number two for you.
And you know what? It's funny because I didn't really want that pill. It's not like I really, really wanted it, but it makes you, it gives you pause when you're watching it, like just how much better anyone who's watching this could be. You know what I mean? Because it really causes him to reach his potential. And even without the drug, if you were to actually just focus and bear down and do better, just get organized.
Yeah, just do the best you can.
Everyone sitting and watching Limitless has some kind of shortcoming that he overcomes in this movie. And it gives you pause. It really makes you examine your own shit.
Yep, no shortcomings, no frailty.
Number two for me. Oh, God, this one just smacked me right in the face when we came up with this last week. And I'm like, I know there's at least one. No, I know there's at least two. Here's the first one that came to mind. First one, Bri-Bri.
Nuke.
You gotta love Nuke, Bri-Bri. Now, number one on my list of...
Was Nuke from...
fake products or fictitious products from a few weeks ago was also from the RoboCop series.
Family.
Yes, Family. I believe that my number... I had a commercial that went for Nukem. So
that's right.
This Nukem was directed by Irvin Kershner. Brian, tell people where they might know Irvin Kershner.
From Return of the Jedi. Empire Strikes Back.
Thank you.
That was Richard Marquand.
Nuke was from RoboCop 2. Here's what Nuke is. It's a highly addictive and most pleasurable narcotic that was made by the drug lord and leader of the Nuke cult. His name is Kane. Played by Tom Noonan. Played so goddamn effectively by Tom Noonan. This movie, RoboCop and or RoboCop 2, most notably probably RoboCop 2, I would hazard to say has been on more lists than any other list. I
have not seen RoboCop 2. It always just seemed like, why?
His boss is so fucking evil and Ed 209 gets some more play here. I know he's been up on a list. Anyways, there was other variants of Nuke, other types of Nuke that they were testing and doing experiments with. They were named Red Ramrod, Brian. There was one called White Noise, one called Blue Velvet, as well as Black Thunder. Nuke is a new designer drug that has been plaguing the streets of Detroit.
Nuke.
1990s RoboCop 2. Oh, so Paul Verhoeven did the first one. It really had a lot of grit and fun, and it was a satirical look at what the future would look like. You know what? I bet he nailed a few things, much like Mike Judge did with Idiocracy. I'm sure that he nailed a couple things. Let's see. What else? I copy and pasted this straight off of Wikipedia. I did find a sweet Wikipedia page, Brian.
Yeah,
has all the fake drugs.
I saw that one, too.
This is Nuke still. A powerful, addictive, synthetic, injected narcotic with effects that resemble those of cocaine. The red color variant in the film is called Red Ramrod. That's a mouthful. A blue variety called Blue Velvet was under development and unsuccessfully tested by Nuke cult leader Kane. But the lab was destroyed during a police raid before it could be completed. Several other types mentioned but never seen are White Noise and Black Thunder. Kane is horribly disfigured and has an unfortunate accident and becomes half robot, half man himself, much like RoboCop himself, also played by Peter Weller, who was the lead in my previous pick, if you recall.
Naked Lunch.
That sounded like you said Nick Lynch. I'm like, who the fuck is Nick Lynch?
Naked Lunch.
What are you talking about?
Naked Lunch.
Yes, he was in both. That's my number two, Brian. Number one, uninspired, and I'm sorry, I apologize in advance.
Why is it uninspired?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, number one for me. Hope it's not the same as me, because I figured like mine is...
Can't be, because you had my number one on your fictitious products a couple weeks ago.
What?
Had it misplaced.
Okay, good, then it is
misplaced.
Definitely not on mine. Oh, okay. Number one for me is from a movie that was remade, and it was also a pleasant surprise. In fact, we did top five pleasant surprises. This ranked number four. It was a very pleasant surprise to find out that a movie I expected to be very, very bad was, in fact, very good. Talk about Dread from 2012 and the drug. It's Slow-Mo.
It was good.
Slow-Mo.
It wasn't very good. I mean...
You don't think Dread was very good? Oh, I should look at the Rotten Tomatoes score. I feel like it was in the 80s. Logan, look that up for me. Please. Dread was good.
I felt like it was Raid Redemption, but Americanized and Hollywoodized.
It was a little bit. Doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, but it's... When there's two, kind of like if Matrix didn't exist, maybe give me some equilibrium. I'll give it to you. Dread is good. Dread is good.
Carl Urban was solid.
Yes.
That is Dread.
You forced me to watch this.
Did I? Did they make you see it in the theaters?
No.
Okay. It's a good movie, though. Dread from 2012, directed by Pete Travis, as he goes by, I guess. Slow-mo, according to the page that Anderson and I both read, is a caramel. Is it caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Caramel-colored liquid that comes in a white inhaler with a clear capsule. The drug appears to be a psychedelic. Might be a psychotropic. That slows the user's perception of time to 1% of its normal speed. So as a result, for the viewer of this film, there are some great drug hallucinatory sequences where people are looking at things in super ultimate slow-mo. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Lena Headey is looking at her hand splashed into a bathtub and the water is just cascading at 1% time. It is hypnotic. It is really good looking. This is a movie that was much better than I expected to. The drug makes users see colors more vividly, appears to have a euphoric effect. And using the inhaler can cause the user to suffer freezer burn.
Freezer burn.
FYI.
Like brain burn?
I think literally around the lips.
Brian, I'm clearing a little space next to me. You want to come sit next to me on the bench and get on board with me here?
Okay.
Judge Dredd, better movie. Want to snuggle up and agree on that?
I didn't see that coming.
I'm joking. It's terrible, terrible.
Original Judge Dredd. Yes.
I'm like, wow. Comical. You should be embarrassed, Hollywood.
Where you're going with
Look
that.
Back at that. Look back at that. Embarrassing.
Where are you on slow-mo, though?
I remember it being inventive and fun and good. I would have loved this movie if Raid Redemption didn't exist. And it's not fair. Maybe it is fair. But, you know, just like Sicario, I would have probably, that would have been one of my favorite movies of last year if Breaking Bad didn't exist. So sometimes
it's weird, though, when you cross television to
no,
you know,
not
to
nowadays. Nowadays, television is very, very long cinema.
All right.
Very long cinema.
Slow-mo from Dread, number one for me.
My number one. It's a bit of a layup, and I would have felt like I was lying to myself.
That's a narcotic.
To you, to the audience, to all the listeners, to Logan, if I did not have...
Not Logan.
Malaco Plus as my number one. I mean, it really is.
Clockwork.
It really is. It was kind of the inspiration, I think, perhaps, for this here episode. I know I was thinking about it. I've always wanted to go into any kind of bar, whether it's a milk bar or not, and have some Drenchrome.
So wait, is this cleared
it's
up for
It's a cocktail.
Me? No, I understand that. Is this what they're drinking the whole time, or is this a hyped up version of what they're drinking?
What do you mean?
The milk that they're drinking. Is this what they're drinking the whole time, or is this...
What do you mean the whole time? Because the movie spans number of years, different locations.
For the first act
jail,
of the film. For the first
not
act
drinking
of the film,
Malaco
the,
Plus okay, while in prison.
Good point. For the first act of the film, they are often drinking this cocktail.
There's different... Okay, there's three different main ingredients that they can have, and they're all based on actual drugs, too. They got the synthamesque, the Velocet, and the Drenchrome, and they're all for depends on what kind of mood striking you. So okay. The beginning when they start in there, they start off with the Velocet because that's what sharpens you up and makes you ready for a little bit of the old ultra violence, as well as the in out.
Old in out.
As well as a little bit of the in out, and then Drenchrome is actually based on Adrenochrome, which would also give you a bit of a kick and down for a little bit
so
of the violence.
So I'm told.
And then Synthamesque is a hallucinogen if you want to kind of chill, listen to a bird sing some Mozart, Sir Beethoven, I should say. Sorry, my phone.
Ludwig von.
Ludwig von. And that's like a synthetic mescaline, which is like a hallucinogen. So okay. That's where you kind of trip out and you listen to her sing some sweet dulcet tones, right?
Like
but, you know, so it's whatever strikes you. And should also be pointed out that if any of you kids are planning on doing drugs and mixing it with milk, not such a great conductor for the old drugs there. A lot of time it will lessen their effect. It will neutralize them. So orange juice is much better for that. But I'm not saying any of you should do drugs. But if you were, I wouldn't want you to waste your hard-earned money or the risks you might take. See what I'm saying?
Okay. It's a good public service announcement.
Yeah, it's just milk you really... Kind of, that wasn't very realistic there. Okay. Unless these drugs were so potent they could handle the baseline of the fatty milk lipids.
Okay. So was Malaco a thing unto itself and the plus was whatever the drug you put into it?
Right. Milk is just essentially, Malaco is essentially Malaco. Just a word for milk because it's a hybrid language in the future. This is a not too distant future after presumably Russia has won
like
the Cold War. And so
we all speak half English.
Yeah. And half Russian. So there's a whole thesaurus that comes with this. My favorite movie of all time. I feel like it should be stricken from the record and I should not be allowed to put it on lists moving forward.
I agree.
But until that day has come, A Clockwork Orange in all its glory will show up in the list if it is appropriate.
Okay.
Malaco Plus. A lot of, and there's a lot of clever bars and whatnot that try and mimic this with various agents.
Really?
Yes.
Have you been to one? Have you tried any of them?
No, because I'm afraid of associating
something you don't like.
Yeah, the patrons of said
like
bar.
Like a white Russian, right?
Yeah, but no, with drug actual. Oh, there's some countries that actually.
Oh, I thought you meant like here in L.A.
Like, then I found some alchemist sites where people are actually getting illegal drugs such as mescaline.
So we're gonna serve cocktails at this live show coming up. Mm-hmm. We should have a signature cocktail. It should be Malaco Plus. You should
with cocaine.
Well, no. Well, I mean, maybe, but probably not. Probably not.
Serum 114 is another fake drug that was used in Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange, written by Anthony Burgess.
The one they administer to him.
And that's not a fun drug. It just makes you nauseous. And there is actually a drug that they use for that, for association therapy.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what's the one?
Epicac.
Anabuse. I always think of Anabuse for like smoking or drinking.
Logs, I could tell that you're itching to say something. What was it?
No.
What was it? Oh, okay.
Ready to get to this?
You're ready, waiting for me to wrap it up so we can get there. Top five.
Well, that's just all of us. Let's hear those in your top five.
All right, number five.
I had three. I'm sorry. So there was actually three on my number one. Three separate drugs. But oh,
okay. No, we got it.
Malaco Plus.
Good.
Number five. What was it again? HFS from 21 Jump Street.
That's what I had. That's what I had for number five.
Let me, if memory serves, you had a wrong movie.
Number four is Malaco Plus from A Clockwork Orange.
I've moved on.
Wait, hold on. Wait for this zinger. What is that? I've never heard of it.
Well done.
Number three, Nuke from RoboCop 2.
Fuck you! It's mine!
Only Anderson. How dare you agree with me?
Number two is NZT from Limitless.
What is that? I can't remember.
And the number one fictional drug, as voted on by our listeners, is Slow Mo from Dread.
Whoa!
Pretty good.
Wow! Really?
You got any also-rans?
What was the drug in Raid Redemption? Or is it just drugs in general?
I think it was drugs in general.
Drugs in general.
You want to hear some also rants?
Let's do some drugs, me brother. No thanks, me brother. It means murder. Sorry, I'm doing
what
a
is that?
D'Anvid.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Let's go do some drugs, man. No thanks, me brother. Go ahead.
Iocane powder from The Princess Bride. It's a poison more than a drug, but it's a drug. Novril from Misery. It's a powerful what is it? It knocks you out, I guess. Provasic RDU90 is the ostensible red herring in The Fugitive. Turbolax from Dumb and Dumber makes you poop.
Uh-huh.
Revenge of the Nerds. Trichloromethylene. It makes you drink a lot without getting the effects of alcohol. ALZ-112 and 113. I thought this might be on your list from Rise of the Planet of the Apes. It's the drug they're trying to produce for Alzheimer's. The droppers, remember from Looper? They're dropping that stuff in their eyes. All the loopers are addicted to these eye drops. Yes, Scat from The Faculty. Cronol from Snowpiercer is a small part of the movie. The Cure from X-Men Part 3. Neuroin from Minority Report. Quietus from Children of Men. And Somnassin from Inception. That's what puts him under, makes him dream the vivid dreams. And also, I almost wanted to get clever, and there's a whole subtrope of this, Anderson, where like normal things can act as drugs for like aliens. Like an alien comes to our planet and drinks coffee and it makes them, you know, like drugs.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't do that.
I almost did cat food for District 9. Because they're all on cat food.
Yeah, but it's a real thing, and it doesn't count as a fake drug. And that would have been almost as bad. And I'm still reeling from this. And I actually told people who don't even listen to the show, just friends of mine or people in my life. I'm like, can you believe this is what I deal with on a weekend? We were doing top five scenes where Brad Pitt eats food. Thanks to my buddy Paul Harper.
Top five Brad Pitt eating scenes.
Thanks to my buddy Paul Harper bringing this to the table. And you know what was on Brian's list? Yeah, Bruce Willis eats a fucking spider, and Brad Pitt happens to be in the room.
Brad Pitt eating scene.
Mm-hmm. Withnail and I almost had this on there. Phenylid hydrochloride, Benzalex. Presumably a rare designer drug, Brian, in the form of a capsule offered to Withnail by his dealer, Danny. It is implied that the drug known on the streets as the embalmer is extremely potent and dangerous, although its effects are not specified.
Sounds gross.
But the embalmer, doing a drug called the embalmer would be pretty sweet. Lawnmower Man had
being known as the embalmer.
Project 5 formula, a collection of drugs designed to increase neurochemical activity and enhance intelligence.
Which one's this?
This is the Lawnmower Man. Okay. You ever seen Lawnmower Man?
No, I never saw it.
Yeah, it was experimental.
I was too young at the time.
Revenge of the Nerds had the trichlormethylene, which is a drug that's supposed to subdue the effects of alcohol.
Yep, I said that.
You did. You had it on your list. Okay, I wasn't listening to you.
Also around.
Squid. Just I like the name in Strange Days. Okay. Catherine Bigelow's Strange Days. I don't know if you probably never saw that.
Nope.
Space Coke, Brian.
Well, Space
I just
Coke.
Love the name of it. And Cheech and Chong's next movie, the sequel to Cheech and Chong movie.
That was the only thing I liked about that stupid movie, Starsky and Hutch, was the drug that Vince Vaughn was peddling was called New Coke.
And this would definitely be Sleep X from Rat Race, which is just a cheap imitation of it. It's a mad world. And then this would have been on my list if I was trying to be cute and clever. My name was Brian, but I'm not. And it's plus, I've never seen this movie, Care Bears Movie 2. I've never seen Care Bears Movie 2, Brian. But when the main character, Christy, dies at the end, apparently the only thing to bring her back is to really, really, truly care.
Caring.
Caring enough will bring anyone back to life.
That's a drug.
Like a drug. Yeah.
Caring.
Almost had that.
Caring.
Let's care for Christy. So, yes.
Okay.
Solid fun list.
All right.
Brought back a lot of movies that I had.
There were more than
quite
I expected. There were more than I expected.
Oh, Harvey.
I can't believe I left off.
Formula 977. And
Gleamix.
And that old movie Harvey where he keeps seeing the rabbit. Keeps seeing the rabbit.
Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
James Stewart.
You know, I passed the cross street, Fairfax and 18th Street. Is where he's supposed to have come, or maybe Fairfax and 9th Street. It's a real intersection here in LA is where he first met Harvey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the movie. And I pass it often on my way to work.
All right, let's wrap up with some gambling.
Last week, you guys gambled on Barbershop, The Next Cut. At the time, the Rotten Tomato score was 92%. Anderson bid 13, Brian 46. Currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomato score for Barbershop, The Next Cut has not gone anywhere. It's still at 92%.
It's cheating. No one's seen it since, and they're just keeping their white guilt vote.
You think
there.
That's true?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like this should be default, and we should move on to another film.
Well, we're going
to
move on to another film, but first we have to assign you a film.
Yeah, you know what? Everyone loses, yourself included, Brian.
Why?
Because you don't enjoy
you
hearing
like talk
me.
To me.
You like talk to me?
Yeah, but for the most part, you don't like to hear me talk about movies.
For the most part. Hey, I have a question. Have you seen 99 Homes? You're not good at this.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Did you talk about it on the show?
Yes. You're brutal.
All right. I have a film that I've been very excited for you to see for a few weeks now because I saw
Elvis
it.
And Nixon.
I've
Fantastic.
Sitting, I've been sitting on it. I saw it a few weeks ago, and I've been sitting on it. I want to talk about it with you.
Is it a dildo?
It is a documentary.
Oh.
And you could make the case for it being a music documentary, but it's not really. Yeah. It's more about it's a business documentary. All Things Must Pass.
I've seen it.
You have? Have you really?
No, I don't like the name though at all. It reminds me of poop.
Did you really see it?
No.
Oh God, I was gonna say yeah, this movie should.
Wait, is it about someone dying?
No, it's about Tower Records.
Oh yes, I'm in.
Yeah, it's the Colin Hanks documentary.
I was
Tower
supposed
Records.
To actually be.
It's
at
It's not
the,
really about music. It's
I
mean, more
the
about
Eagles
the
of Death Metal. Did like a live show at the Tower that they revivified just for the opening for the world premiere of this.
Did you? Were you into Tower Records as a younger man?
Oh, of course.
My God, absolutely. I spent more time in Tower Records than I did in anywhere else except for my home and my school. I swear to God, more time in Tower Records.
Really,
I
would never
it.
Guess that about you.
Really?
Because I would think there would be some kind of coolness would rub off on you from all those hours in the cool record store.
It did. Think about how less cool I would be.
Oh my God.
Think about it.
Picture that. Holy shit, you're right.
It's good. You'll like it. Wow. We'll talk about it next week. All Things Must
My Pass. Favorite Tower record was actually a tower. It was, I think, at least three stories high, if not four, in the heart of Westwood Village, UCLA town.
Oh, yeah. They did have you could walk up. They had the upstairs.
Upstairs, I downstairs.
Went there many times.
Yeah. Great, great place.
That's so sad it's gone. That was such a cool place. Anyway, we'll talk about it next week. You'll like it.
I'm excited.
All right. This week, you're gambling on The Huntsman, Winter's War.
Now, is this a sequel?
I think it's a prequel.
I mean, okay, so it's part of a previous film. It's connected to
it. It came out
film.
A couple years ago, okay. Yeah.
It looks phenomenal. That's all I know.
It looks really good. I mean, I'm thinking early Oscar buzz.
they're saying it's really way too early for Oscar buzz, but there's a
Not
chance.
Not in this case.
Well, I've heard that a lot of the studios are so fearful of this one that they're actually pulling the release dates of their movies for like
they're
the fall.
They're pushing it to next year.
Yeah, they push Star Wars.
They're pushing, yeah, because pushing this movie is such a threat. This movie is such a threat.
Yeah.
I mean, this week on... Cinemadix, also known as Cinematics, we do Elvis and Nixon. Talk about
second. This is the second plug for that show.
No, it's first.
Or you mentioned it before.
We talk stunt casting, Brian. You want some stunt casting? How about Elvis and Nixon? You know anything about this?
Speaking of
you
99 Holmes.
You know about this?
Speaking of 99 Holmes.
Michael Shannon playing Elvis and Kevin Spacey playing Nixon.
Okay.
Also talked about the new Susan Sarandon movie, The Meddler, which is very good. Which I otherwise would not
hide your number. Hide your number. Don't show it to me. I am thinking of a number that is not good. Wait, I shouldn't have said that.
No, Brian, they actually, yeah.
No, they actually.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to say anymore. I don't want to give it away.
I have to try and base it off what you're going to do.
Oh, wait, I saw a big billboard for it at Hollywood and Highland. That's usually a good
sign. Oh, that's a good sign. Okay,
really big billboard. So it's a real movie.
Let me bump this up by...
Charlize Theron is in it, right?
Yeah.
It's everything that happened before...
Emily Blunt is in it.
Blunt. Everything that happened before Snow White. Because I've always wondered. Now, Snow White, is that the one with Grumpy and Sleepy?
Yes, that's the dwarves.
Is that Snow White or is that Sleeping Beauty? I always get them confused. Same movie in my head. Same story.
No, Sleeping Beauty is the... Wait, oh shit. No, Snow White's with the dwarves.
Sleeping Beauty is the prince has to go fight the dragon and kiss the girl.
So there's no...
There's a prince in both.
Are there dwarves in this one that we're...
Snow White eats a poisonous apple.
Yeah. And the old hag.
And Sleeping Beauty pricks her finger.
But they're on a loom.
Snow White goes to sleep, though, and she becomes beautiful
They both go to sleep.
Oh, what the fuck? Same guy wrote it? Or are they just biting off each other's style? What's going on there?
Well, actually, is it a Hans Christian Andersen thing or Grimm Brothers? I have no idea who the...
People were just obsessed with like white pasty bitches sleeping back then, huh? Like that was the thing.
And then there's fucking Rapunzel who's stuck up in the castle.
You think that's where it all started with Mr. Cosby?
What?
Like he was a small child beating off to like Disney films? Like Snow White or Sleeping
Beauty?
So
influenced by Snow White. Like that's how
it's done. That's my thing.
And then the prince comes along.
What's your number?
35. No, it is not. No, it is not.
It's not. It's 13.
Oh, crap.
This thing looks hard.
It really looks bad.
Well, currently, the week before its release with 73 reviews, the Rotten Tomato score for The Huntsman Winter's War is 19%.
Oh, yes.
That is very, very close.
It could go either way, though.
Lucky 13.
That is very, very close to Anderson's
score. Lucky 13.
How high do I need to go to get wind? 24?
Yours 35, right?
24, I think. 24 is the...
No, you did not say 24.
No, what's the number I needed to get to? That's not that far off.
Yeah, so it's a difference of 12. Oh, no, you're right. 6. Oh, no.
24 is doable.
It's yeah, it has to go up. It has to go up just about 5 points.
5%. It's not likely, but it's doable.
22. Okay, all right.
Shit. Well, good news. You're going to enjoy All Things Must Pass.
All right. Let's do this. Let's wrap her up.
Oh, thanks, you guys, for listening. We appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of details for you next week on our first ever live show. We're very excited about it.
Yeah, we're going to give you details about the first ever live show next week, not do the live show next week. When are we doing summer preview? Do we know?
We talked about... Logan talked about doing...
Do we want to do it the week before Captain America comes out, or do we want to do it the week it does come out?
I don't give a fuck about Captain America.
I think that's kind of the marker of
just for the marker of summer.
I'm seeing that piece of shit tomorrow.
I'm jealous.
Are you?
For you?
I wish you could go for me and like see it for me from remotely. That's coming, right? You'll be able to put on glasses. I'll be able to just sit and watch.
That's right. Can you imagine? VR movies.
It's happening. It's going to happen. But I have to see that thing tomorrow. I don't really care.
It'll be coming up soon. Next week or the week
after. Let's do it the week after.
All right. I like 2 weeks.
That. Next week, Rotten Movies?
Too early for that, isn't it?
Okay. Well, you brought it up.
That's going to be a lot of research, too.
Also true. Yeah. Hey, thanks you guys for listening. Like we said, thanks for downloading. Thank you to Josh B for the listener art this week. Oh, that's not funny.
He must. What is what's going on with the blood over the head?
I've been abused.
There's some good details in this one too. So I recommend you go to the website and take a closer look.
What's the name of that listener?
Josh B. Thank you, Josh. Go to AndersonandBrian.com to see it. Go to AndersonandBrian.com to get information on our featured artists.
Would it be weird if you came to my house and I had that giant picture framed?
That'd be really weird. Like my office. I'd be really shocked if your wife allowed that.
That'd be kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it would be similar.
Allow that in my home.
Allow that in my
home. Do whatever I want.
Allow that in my home.
My home!
Featured artists this week, Before Dawn, The Mayberry Shift, Annie Corbett, Colin Kravis. Kravis? Colin Kravis. Manatee, and Cody Hoffman. Thanks, you guys. Go to Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vault on both. If you want to be a participant in our listener top five, you want to suggest a top five, we're always all ears. And thanks to Uber for the sponsorship this week.
Yeah, thanks, Oobs.
And until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh.